half past the hour, and as you can hear, we're moving into lounge mode here on RN Drive. Jonathan Green with you. Did you have a Commodore 64 at home when you were younger? Would you have some sort of basic computer programming skills to go with it? Apparently, I'm led to believe that those born before the turn of the century, and for me that always meant 1890, are more likely to know how to code than those born after. But there's a push on to make coding cool for kids again. For our Technology Tuesday segment, we are joined in the studio by futurist Mark Pesci and an honorary associate in digital cultures at the University of Sydney. That's our man. From the UK, we're joined by Dr. Eben Upton, who's executive director of Raspberry Pi Foundation. Raspberry Pi, what is that? We'll find out in a sec. First to you, Mark, coding or computer programming, why should more of us know how to do that?
Well, if you're a child, almost everything you're playing with now has a chip in it of some sort to make it reactive, to make it listen to you, think, respond, all of these different things. And what I've actually seen is that when kids get to about 9 or 10, they start to think about what they could do if they could make the chips do the things that they wanted to.
Not what they're told.
Not just what they're given. Well, not just what they're told by someone else, yep, but that they want to do this. So the big game with 9-year-olds now is something called Minecraft, which is sort of like an electronic version, a video game version of Lego. It's actually the perfect Australian game because it's really all based in resource extraction. You dig things up and then you build things with them. I don't know if there's any sales to China involved, but perhaps they'll work that in. And you can do this by yourself or you can do this with your friends. And I have a 9-year-old who I'm basically uncle of in Sydney, and he said, this is what I want to do. I want to learn how to make Minecraft myself. I want to learn how to do all of the pieces to create my own video game that I can then get all of my friends to play with me.
Okay. Eben Upton, this is a little bit where Raspberry Pi comes into the picture, is it not? Tell us about that concept.
Yeah, so Raspberry Pi is a 25 or 35 US dollar credit card size computer. We designed it to give kids exactly that experience, to give kids a platform that they can use to learn to code. As far as I'm concerned, that probably means coding games, from my experience as a child before the turn of the century. But yeah, absolutely. You know, that's the ability to create your own Angry Birds, the ability to create your own Minecraft. It seems to be very important to kids, and at the moment they don't really have a platform they can use to do it.
Mark, code. What is code?
It's a series of instructions. It's a series of statements that says do this and then do this, and then if this, maybe do that, or maybe do this other thing. And it's not that hard for people to master the basics of it. And once you've mastered the basics, you can take those basics and then just start playing. And I think this is the point of something around having a very cheap, inexpensive computer, is that it really encourages people to really play with things. So you can take the little bit that you've learned and then use that to do a little bit more. And then when you run into a problem, you learn enough to learn around that problem. And so it really becomes a step in and then another step in, and then you're in really deep.
And people do get very deep into this, do they not? I mean, it's an almost zen-like state your coder will sink into when beset by a tricky problem.
It's interesting because I wonder how fast, I mean, a 9-year-old learns so rapidly that something, you know, when this 9-year-old asked me how long it would take him to learn Minecraft, I just sort of fudged around it because I didn't want to say, look, at a normal adult would take a couple of years.
It might take 5 minutes.
It might take you a couple of months. It's because they have that capability to become a sponge.
Is this your experience here, Eben Upton? The take up of the younger mind is particularly adaptable to this sort of thinking?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we always say, you know, you don't make a concert pianist by sitting somebody down in front of a piano when they're 18. You know, just giving people access to this kind of thing at the earlier the age, the better, really. I mean, I would think, you know, 8 or 9 is a really good starting age. We've actually taken some of these boards into school in the UK, and that was with 10 and 11-year-old kids. And it was absolutely incredible. You know, kids who'd never programmed before, you know, we'd expected to have to kind of like show them the ropes and, you know, coach them through it. But pretty much my experience was the most recent time I did this, I had an hour of material. I showed them the first 5 minutes and then I couldn't get near the machines to help them anymore because they were just hacking away on it themselves.
And they've also been extremely popular as purchase items, have they not?
No, absolutely. So I think, you know, there's a backlog of a couple of 100,000. You know, when we first started this project, we thought if we sold 1,000.
Mark hasn't got his yet. Well, he wants one.
I actually have. We received our first shipment, our first volume shipment from China yesterday, and I've come into the office today, and I have 100. I have 2 cases of 50 of them, and I'm not expecting to go home with any.
I'll be right over.
So, what are some of the things kids are wanting to do? Where do their imaginations in this head in particular directions?
There's a vast number of them want to write computer games, right? I mean, that's as much of a driver, I think, for kids today as it was back in the 1980s. But you've also got, I think, the Lego is an interesting example. You know, there's this thing called, I think Lego have a thing called Mindstorms, which is kind of a robotics programming environment. And one of the things you can do with a Raspberry Pi is robotics and automation. And so you see a lot of kids sort of thinking about, you know, what can I do around my house? You know, what can I control from this little PC I've got?
This is all, Mark, it's sort of an extension of that sort of open source kind of theory, isn't it? I mean, this is one way of approaching technology, is to understand it, make it readily available and accessible. The other approach to technology is to corporatize it and obscure it in layers of complexity and meaning.
And I think that this is really, I want to congratulate Evan for making this really, I think, one of the design goals of the overall project, is that this is something that's really designed to be completely participatory. So not only are the kids learning, but one reason that all the adults are queued up to get them is because the adults want to get them and learn and then share what they've learned, not just with one another, but with the kids. So if this thing actually really does start to catalyze, you're going to have a whole ecology of adults and kids learning from each other, teaching each other what they're learning about what this is capable of doing. And so it becomes not just where you have an Apple or a Microsoft dictating here's what the device does, but you actually have a planet full of bright people, some bright sparks, some old fogies like me, sharing with each other what we can do.
22 to the hour, talking code with Mark Pesce and Evan Upton. Mark, yes, people will learn this and there'll be this sort of immediate interaction and excitement, but what sort of world do we get to when people have this skill? What's the difference in our approach to the technology that surrounds us?
So here's a story that I'm sure Evan is very well aware of. I did a lot of work in computer graphics back in the 1990s in virtual reality. And the first computer graphics that was capable of running on a PC without lots of, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars of fancy hardware happened because there were programmers in Britain who had the BBC Micro, which had its 30th anniversary this week, and they had them when they were 11, 12, 13 years old, and they learned, I think it was called Mode Zero, which was this special programming mode that gave you access to all of the bits on the screen, and they learned how to write these graphics programs. And then you translate it, and now they're doing postgraduate work in university, and now they're creating programs that no one imagined could be created that led to modern 3D video gaming. It all came out of that work. And one of the reasons why Britain is a leader in video gaming now is because those kids had the BBC Micro in the early 80s.
But now there's just so much more. I mean, as you said at the beginning, everything we touch and hold and have around us is this proprietary technology. Does it become more organic to our lives with a bit of understanding? Can we start to bend it more to our will?
And I think that is certainly the goal, is that you don't actually look at the object as just something. You look at it as
we
potential.
We can de-apple this world, can't we?
Well, I mean, Apple gets a lot of dings, but Apple's reasonably open. I mean, it's more open than a microwave oven, let's say. All right, although God knows you may not want the kids hacking away at the microwave oven because everyone's going to end up irradiated. You have a range there, but what we really want is that every time a child touches something with a computer, that they sees it not just as a device, but as a potential to be something else.
Evan Upton, you fixed on world domination here. I mean, what do you think your young charges, what will become of them? Where will they turn their imaginations?
Well, I think the thing here is that what we're trying to do is we're trying to equip people with a particular way of thinking about the world. And this is a way of thinking about the world that is going to be useful to them, regardless of what they do. If they try and do any kind of any job with any kind of analytical element, a background, having done a little bit of this stuff when they're young, is really going to stand them in fantastic stead. So, you know, I think we've often said what would be a success for us would be 1,000 more kids going into college every year in the UK to become engineers. We think that would make an enormous difference for the British economy. But it would make the main thing is it would make an enormous difference for 1,000 kids. that, you know, people would be, you know, engineering is a fantastic job. You're basically paid to play with toys. Every day, I go to work every day and I play with toys and I get paid money for it. I don't understand why everyone doesn't want to be an engineer. So, we have no idea what people are going to do, but we, you know, we're pretty sure they're going to have fun doing it.
Mark Pesce, what lies beyond code?
Oh, I think design. I think it's code empowers you to be able to translate your ideas into real things. So, I mean, I've been coding for 35-ish years now, right? And now I can get wild ideas and actually sit down at the computer and make them happen.
It's the language that you use to make an experience real.
To make an experience real.
What though? I mean, will we get to a point where code is not the sort of the driving logic behind our machines and appliances? Is there something more sort of organic or intuitive?
Well, I mean, already the way that we work with computers and the way we program them is it evolves. We learn more, we build better tools, and we live inside of a tool cycle which is constantly getting better, so everything's getting easier as time goes by. And in fact, if you have, say, a few million kids running around inside of this cycle, that cycle is probably going to get a lot better. And so the more kids who are involved in it, the better these tools will tend to become.
Ibn Abdin, one last question. Why are the birds angry?
I have no idea. I mean, I guess it'll be all the blows to the head is the obvious answer.
Okay. Thank you both to Mark Pesce, futurist, and to Ibn Abdin, who's executive director of the Raspberry Pi Foundation. Now we know not only what is a Raspberry Pi, but we also know code.